Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we consider the book of Jude and its challenge to contend for the faith. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to our very last episode of the book of Jude. Andrew, I don't know about you. This is the first time that you're doing a book with me, but I get to the end of a book and I feel like I'm saying goodbye to a good friend.
Definitely. It's been amazing for a book that I feel like a lot of times we can almost be scared of because there's so much interesting and so many illustrations all over the place. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but it's amazing to have come through this journey on the other side of it now.
And there's no better way, in my opinion, to close a book than to lift our focus and see the great God, the God that is the transcendent God, the God that is the giver of truth, the God that is the author of our salvation. And that's exactly what Jude does. Jude brings all the attention back to really two things. I think, first of all, the purpose of God in verse number 24, and then the person of God in verse number 25. So let me read the verses, and then we'll talk about them a little bit here for the next few minutes. Verse number 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, now and ever. Amen." Love it. So verse 24 speaks to our purpose, God's purpose for us. And then verse number 25 is just a doxology. All of it relates to doxology, to the person of God. Talk to me a little bit, Andrew. How do these verses speak out to you?
I see it's an added layer of motivation and just, wow, just even as you were reading verse 25, I think my heart rate just went up a little bit. It's one of those where if you can read this without being motivated to go out and do something for God, man, is your heart still there? Is it still beating? Because some amazing, powerful truths that are to encourage us and to push us through regardless of what else is going on around us.
So just consider really what Jude is promising, what he's stating about God's relationship to us believers. I think he's speaking about God's purpose. You know, God's purpose for your life, my friend, is no different than his purpose for my life. And that purpose is found in Romans 8:29, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The purpose for your life is that you would become more and more like Jesus. So God has made it a sure thing that every believer in Jesus will ultimately be just like Jesus. So when you trust Christ as Savior, you're justified. There's a declaration immediately of righteousness. Positionally, you are made like Christ immediately. But then God says, I'm going to also work in your life practically. And through this process that we call sanctification and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the resource of the Word of God, we can be made more like Jesus every single day as we cooperate with the Spirit's work in our life. It's a wonderful promise. But one day we will see Christ as he is. That's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And we will become just like Jesus in glorification. What a wonderful promise that God's rescue plan for man includes spirit, soul, body, all of you. He gave all of himself for all of you that you might be redeemed, purchased back, made, restored. So the position that he describes in verse number 24 is a great position. And I think there are three aspects to it. I think, first of all, no stumbling. As a child of God, he's able to keep me from falling. There is no stumbling block along the way that is going to ultimately keep me from being all that God's called me to be. I will not fall. Does that mean that there are never times when I'm going to make a selfish choice or where I won't need God's rebuke? No, it doesn't mean that. But it just means I'm never going to stay. I'm never going to be stopped. This process that has been inaugurated is a process inaugurated by God. He will complete it. That's a wonderful truth.
And if he's the one that keeps me from stumbling, I just have to determine once again to find myself in him. That's my responsibility and my part in it. It's almost like my one responsibility is to hold on to God because the answers are all found in him. Even when it comes to not falling in the area of sin, when it comes to not falling in the area of falling to the even doctrinal issues that have been brought up in this book, how do I stay away from getting carried away by those things? By staying in God. It's by staying in the gospel.
That's so good. So our great position is one of no stumbling, but our great position is one of no spot. Because the Bible says he will present us faultless before the presence of God. So in what sense am I faultless? I'm faultless in that I've been made spotless by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am presented before God as one who has never sinned because I have the imputed record of Jesus Christ imputed to my record. I love the song, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." It goes on to say, faultless to stand before the throne. That's where that comes from, this verse. So what is my position in Christ? I have no stumbling. I have no spot. And then ultimately, I have no sorrow. Because the Bible says in verse 24, he'll present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So where is my joy derived? It's not derived in my goodness. It's derived in his goodness. And joy is something contingent upon our knowledge of the ability of God, the purpose of God. Boy, the more that we can understand who God is, see the sovereignty of his purpose in our life, the more we can have abiding joy to know God is in control. God is at work. He is being glorified. He is working for my good. Wow, that's joy.
And that spotless, faultless idea, I mean, you can follow that all the way through the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, but now Christ is that. He's paid for everything, and now that spotlessness, even one day as I appear before him, is something that I now have the opportunity to be in. That brings joy itself. The sacrificial system was ended with Christ. He paid for it once for all, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, and now I enjoy all the benefits that come along with that.
So very good. So not only do we have a great position, but I think verse 24 also implies that we have great potential. And what I mean by that is Jude is telling believers now what will happen then. So why would Jude be telling believers now what will happen then unless he wanted then to affect now? That's the point. The point is because God is keeping us from stumbling, because we are without spot standing before him one day, because we have exceeding joy in the presence of God, then we ought to be able to have that today. Looking forward and understanding what God is doing and will ultimately accomplish. And so we have great position. We have great potential. Joy can be a present reality. So all of that to say, verse 24 speaks to the purpose of God. Now, verse number 25 speaks to the person of God. And at the end of the day, it's a fresh glimpse of God that we need. We're not going to understand ourselves or our identity until we understand God and his. So whether that be Isaiah, who saw the Lord high and lifted up and then saw himself, or whether that be you and me, who need to see the Lord in an exalted way, seeing the Lord for who he is, getting a fresh glimpse of God, is going to itself be a panacea for all of the things that ail us. So let's read the verse one more time, and then Andrew, I'll give you the first stab at it. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So tell me what leaps out to you from verse 25.
Each word is just chock full. And with the context behind us of these false teachers, they're concerned with their own glory, majesty, dominion, and power. But here is God that everything else just pales in comparison to him. And I love that it's not just he has all these things forever. It's now and forever. Yes, he is completely in charge. He may let some of these things go unpunished just for a period of time in his mercy, but he's still in control. And also, it's a challenge for us to act like it now. It is our responsibility to be giving God the glory, to treat him as the majestic, the one who has dominion and power today. Wow.
Yeah, that's a wow. To the only wise God. So God has a plan. He has a purpose. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we get confused about it, but we need to trust him. And that plan includes our redemption. He's our Savior. So the wise God with the redemptive plan is always working things together for his glory and our good. And speaking of his glory, the Bible gives us these words that we should ascribe in our thinking to God. So the first word is glory. So when I wrote these notes years ago, I was kind of into alliteration, not so much anymore. But when I jotted down these notes, I said, glory, that means the attention is his. God deserves the light to be upon him. We must refuse to acknowledge ourselves as an authority, but choose to recognize him alone. So when we say glory, then we say the attention belongs to God. When we say majesty, then we say the ascendance belongs to God. He inhabits the highest place. He deserves to occupy that throne alone. That's what majesty means. It is satanic, really, in our thinking, to want to share the throne of God. That's what Lucifer did. So the attention is his, glory. The ascendance is his, majesty. Then I would say the arena is his, dominion. Dominion speaks to arena, the arena of his control. So God has the power, kratos, to conquer and control. The power, the same power, by the way, by which he raised Christ, is the power by which the believer lives. So when we say that the power is God's, that's the same power by which he empowers us. Wow. So the attention is his, glory, the ascendance is his, majesty, the arena is his, dominion, and then the authority is his, power. God has and deserves sovereign reign over his creation. It is the privilege and responsibility of his children to submit willingly. Who would not want to honor? Who would not want to follow that God? The wise God with a plan who saves me deserves the glory and the majesty, the dominion and the power now. And I love that distinction you made, Andrew, now. So what's the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is that God's kingdom, thy kingdom come, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, today may my life be a microcosm of your kingdom, where your will holds sway, where your name is glorified, where your message is trumpeted. May my life be a little kingdom of God on earth.
That's our purpose summed up, and I can't help but think of Revelation 4:11 with this. The 24 elders worship the Lamb who was slain. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Our purpose is summed up in all of those things, his glory, his majesty, his power, to reflect those to those around us.
That is the exclamation point. That I'm so glad you read that verse. And my friends, we will be there. Revelation 4, we will be part of that assembly. And these are words that you and I will say personally to our God. I hope this has been a help to you. The book of Jude, it certainly has been a help to me. Looking forward to continuing our study of the Word of God together. Next book, next chapter, next verse. We'll see you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.